Welcome to Let's Talk About Leadership, Service, and Sisterhood,
a podcast sponsored by California Rainbow,
a nonprofit service organization for girls ages 8 to 20.
These young leaders learn the importance of serving others
and gain lifelong sisters.
Learn more at gocarainbow.org.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About Leadership, Service, and Sisterhood, a podcast by teens for teens. In today's episode, we'll be discussing preparedness and how us as teens can take the right path into our adult lives through careers or education. For those of you who have never tuned in before, hi, my name is Ashley. I am a Passworthy Advisor at Vacaville Assembly and the producer of Let's Talk About Leadership, Service, and Sisterhood. Today, we're joined by fellow members of California Rainbow and some of our incredible alumni.
Hi, I'm Aubrey, and I'm a Passworthy Advisor of Natoma Assembly.
Hi, I'm also Aubrey,
and I am Grand Charity and Representative to Washington, Idaho.
Hi, my name is Kiara, and I am an alumni. I'm also a member of the State Publicity and Communications Team, and I was past Grand Religion Representative to Alabama, Georgia, and North Carolina in 2019.
I'm Emily Fontana. I am the Assistant Director of our Talent and Sports Program with California Rainbow. I was also a Grant Officer. I was Maryland and West Virginia in 2008.
Hi, my name is Hannah Hanlon. I am also an adult alumni, and I served as Grand Worthy Advisor in 2019.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Let's get to it. My first question is for the girls. What grade are you currently in, and what are your dreams after high school? I am currently a junior in high school, and my dream has changed a couple times, but the dream that I'm on right now is becoming a cosmetologist.
I'm also a junior in high school, kind of finishing up my junior year, and I have this all planned out so far. My dream after high school is to kind of just stay local for a little bit, to go to a junior college, to get my associate's degree. And then after junior college, my plan is to go to a university. I don't know where yet, but to start majoring in anthropology and getting a minor in forensics. And then during that, I also want to go and study abroad and learn about different cultures and do all the things. So, yeah.
I am currently a senior. I graduate in 25 days, and I am then planning on going to a junior college in my area. And then after that, I'm planning to go to GCU, Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona, to get my nursing degree and then go into the Navy.
Those were some lovely answers. Next question is for the adults. What was your dream for after high school?
I can go ahead and start. When I was in high school, I really wanted to be an engineer. And so I was in a program in my high school that talked all about engineering. And that dream has changed a little bit. So when I was in my engineering program, I realized that, you know, engineering is really cool and I really like it, but it's not the thing that I wanted to be doing for the rest of my life. So there are a lot of different dreams that I wanted to follow. So I ended up finishing my degree. I went straight to a four-year college after high school, and then I ended up doing a master's degree afterwards. And the job that I'm going to be transitioning into next month will be as a project manager for the federal government. So I realized that, you know, the lessons that we learn in Rainbow about public speaking and, you know, presenting are things that I really love doing. And so project management is kind of a technical version of doing those every day. And so I really, you know, want to do that. I also want to kind of explore marketing more. I was on the publicity and communications team when I was a grant officer. And so that's something that I'm, you know, pursuing as a side dream. So like Aubrey said, pursue all of the dreams because you just don't know where they're going to end you. And I highly recommend just explore everything.
Yeah. When I was in high school, I had this like juggling of dreams, right? I wanted to pursue theater technology, but I also wanted to be able to provide for a family and be a mom. And it was like, how do I help people do my job in the creative sphere and then also be a good and active parent? So I went to junior college, got a job in food service, right? And then I would take classes for the jobs I was doing. So it started with my theater degree jobs, and then I moved into music as I moved into musical theater work. And then from there, I moved into paralegal work because I learned I had all these admin skills. And now I am a union organizer. So I use my networking skills from when I was in Rainbow to get people to work together for good contracts. So there are just a lot of ways that you find what you love through your current active study.
I have a pretty similar transition through high school into college. I took my first biology course as a freshman in high school, and that's when I knew that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. But biology has so many different facets to it, I had to figure out which one I wanted to pursue. So since I didn't really know exactly what field of biology I wanted to go into, I stayed local and I went to my junior college. And like Aubrey, I didn't know where I wanted to go yet. And I just did a little researching and I transferred to Cal State University, Long Beach. And I just graduated in May of 2023. And I discovered that I really like molecular and cellular biology. And I just got hired as an associate scientist at a bioscience company that develops antibodies for cancer detection. So it's navigating what you want to do and how you're going to go about doing it. So yeah, that's how I ended up where I am. And networking, like Emily was saying, is extremely important because I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my network. That's how I got my foot in the door. And college and your education, and whether that's vocational school, trade school, anything, you really need to make connections as well. Even though your knowledge and everything is there, sometimes it comes down to the connection you make. You need to, yeah, know someone, unfortunately, is the case. It's not your merit, it's who you know sometimes.
Girls, do you have any challenges that you're currently facing while trying to achieve your dreams? And do you want to ask the adults if they have any experience with it and what they would recommend doing?
So for me personally, I get ahead of myself a lot. I have all these elaborate plans and I kind of forget that it's the present right now and I should just be living right now in the present, in the moment. So for any of the adults, how do you stay motivated to keep doing what you want to work towards, but also remembering to stay in the moment?
So for me, I like to think of it as where I am now is what me 6 months ago, a year ago, however long ago, was dreaming I would be. So that kind of helps me realize and stop and think when I'm planning towards the future right now, wow, where I am right now is somewhere 5 years ago I never thought I would be. And then it really grounds me and makes me appreciate the moment. And then it also reinforces my confidence in myself that I got here and these big dreams that I have for the future, I can achieve because I achieved what I'm doing right now, currently.
Aubrey, I feel like I do the same exact thing where I love to live 5 months in the future and I'm always planning future trips and, you know, future stuff. And so something that I like to do is write everything down. So when you have these good ideas of, you know, like, I want to go to this school or I want to be in this position, I would recommend you write it down somewhere, whether that's a journal or a Pinterest board, like vision boards. You know, if you have, you know, if you like to draw, sometimes I sketch things of like, this is what I want my future house to look like. Just put it somewhere so that way you don't forget, because I find that those thoughts are really helpful for when you are in the moment to remind yourself of like, well, this is what past me wanted for future me. But also like Hannah said, you know, grounding yourself and reminding yourself that like, this is the place that you need to be right now. You have to like stay motivated and accomplish what you're doing right now so that way you can move forward in whatever your next dream is. So for me, I know with my master's degree, I was feeling really kind of burnt out from school and just ready to be done with school. And so kind of that like senioritis feeling that I know I got when I was a senior in high school. And so I kind of had to ground myself or remind myself that like, you know, for what I want future me to be doing, I have to get through these next few classes. I have to, you know, pass my classes and do well here so I can be successful in my next journey. But yeah, keeping a list of these are the steps I need to get there is important for me too.
I think also it's important to like do self check-ins and things to help you remember to be in the moment is like, is this going to derail something that I'm trying to do later down the line? And then how important is it that I still have this timeline? I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, is that I have to have this certain thing done by this certain time. Otherwise, I'm behind. But like, who created these timelines other than ourselves, right? So I think taking the pressure off the timeline sometimes can help you allow yourself to live in the moment a little bit.
Thank you, both three of you.
Okay, so I have always wanted to go into the military and to become a nurse. That has been my dream since I was, I think, in third grade. Hasn't really changed. And I have set myself up to go into nursing school and everything. I've taken medical classes my entire 4 years in high school, and like I'm currently in our RFP program, which allows me to work at the hospital. But I'm worried that once I do it and once I get my nursing degree, then I won't like it as much as I do now. How do I know if it's right for me, and how do I like know that it's gonna work?
So you're passionate about this, right? So even if you find that like this ends up being something that you don't really enjoy, you're still so young and you're not gonna regret putting all this work into something that you've been passionate about since you were in third grade. So even it, like I am 36 years old and on my fifth or fourth career right now. So that's, again, one of the things is like, take joy in what you're doing right now. And if it turns out you find joy somewhere different, it's all right to let you lead it that way. But like, don't regret following a passion that you have.
I'm someone that's big in the conversation around your story as a person and thinking forward to when you have children and when you have grandchildren, like the stories that you're going to tell them. And so I always am like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And if anything, we're going to do it for the plot, right? Do it to be a plot point of, you know, this crazy, you know what? I went to school for engineering and then I found out I didn't like it, but it's okay. You can still pivot. You do not have to be a nurse for the rest of your life. You don't have to join the military for the rest of your life. And it's okay for those dreams to change. And it's okay to do something different. And even if that's a complete 180 and you want to do art and you say, you know what, nursing really isn't for me, I want to be a full-time artist, that's totally fine. And there are ways that you can do that and make money and still be successful and still have a home and, you know, hit these kind of other benchmarks that you might have for your life. So I think pursue it, because I think you're going to regret not pursuing it. And my parents always told me, and I think it's really important, that you should always have some sort of certificate or piece of paper that says you're good at something. So whether that's a college degree, whether that's vocational training, whether that's an associate's degree from a junior college, you need to have some sort of certification so you can make sure that you have the ability to make money in some career. And then after that, there are hobbies you can pursue. There's volunteering. Maybe you don't like being a full-time nurse, but you like volunteering in nursing homes. And that's one way that you can offer your skills in the profession that's not full-time, right? Because I have a friend that's in nursing school, and it's a little different than what she was imagining in high school, but there are still ways that she can contribute to the profession without being in a hospital 12 hours a day. So I say you should still go for it, and then if things change, that's totally fine.
I agree. I think Kiara and Emily really hit the nail on the head there. And getting a degree or any certificate, like Kiara was saying, it shows your commitment to doing something. So even if you get out of nursing school and you realize, I didn't really like that, I don't want to be doing this, there are so many other aspects of nursing and public health that you could apply your nursing degree to. And even something totally unrelated, employers like to see that you were committed to something and you saw something through. So even if what you got your degree in or your certification in is not at the end of the day what you want to do, it's still going to be a good reflection of you and your ability to accomplish something. And that looks really good to employers.
And if you're partway through nursing school and you realize this particular line of nursing you're studying is not something that you're passionate about, you have ways to like pivot and change and redirect. So you don't have to also feel tied to the degree you started. No classes are going to be bad.
Okay, thank you so much.
Did Aubrey have one more question?
I did, if that's okay. Like, in a time where there's lots of disheartening and unmotivating things that pop up to everyone. How did you all stay motivated in the long term run when there's so many short term temporary challenges that might get in the way?
I am someone that thrives off of what my dad calls the carrots of life. And so there are little things, little treats that I put in front of myself to kind of make it worth, like, I don't know, going through. So for instance, I have been, you know, saving my money so my friends and I can go to Disneyland in October. That's something that we have done every year, and it's expensive, so I have to save, you know, throughout the year. But that's my little treat to myself to kind of keep myself going when times get tough. So other examples, I know a lot of people that are, you know, in college or even in high school will save for like concerts. The university that I went to in Reno, we have a pretty nice like concert venue. And so I was able to see like Brad Paisley with my dad over there. So it was a really fun time to like say, okay, I need to make it through finals because 2 weeks after finals, I have my Brad Paisley concert. Or I need to make it through these really tough midterms because after my midterms, I have this thing to look forward to. So take little times. It doesn't have to be something expensive. It can also be, you know, maybe a picnic with your friends. So there's little things that I kind of strategically place in my calendar to kind of reward myself for getting through the hard times. And that kind of is what makes the challenging times easier for me. And then it also kind of helps build on your story, right? So there's a lot of just crazy things that happen where, you know, we had an opportunity to go see Brad Paisley. And that was something that came up last minute and we were able to buy the tickets and we were so excited to do that. So I think taking those little opportunities throughout your day to kind of do a little extra to make your day better is definitely worth it.
For me, I tend to experience burnout when I'm doing something for too long, but I was committed to my degree and I think going to junior college really saved me because once I graduated high school, I started my local community college and I was so excited. It was new. It was fun. It was just what I was hoping for. And then by my second to last semester at my junior college, things weren't as fresh, weren't as new. The workload was feeling kind of heavy. But then I had a transfer. And so that kind of reinvigorated me. I need to keep my grades up to transfer. I want to get into a good school. I did some research and I applied to a bunch of CSUs. And when I got those acceptances, it really boosted my love for biology and reinvigorated me. And then when I transferred to Long Beach, my first semester, so excited, so fun, so new. It just, yeah, reinvigorated me. And I was able to find that spark again. And then once I started finishing up at Long Beach, I was like, oh, the course load's getting to me. It's a little much. It's not as fresh. It's not new. But then I realized I'm graduating. That's huge. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college. And then once I graduated, I was like, I got to get a job. And then the job was new, exciting, fun. And then at the job, I'm constantly learning new things. Even though it's in my field, it is so much more in depth that every facet of it is just something new and fresh and fun, and it keeps me engaged and focused on my long-term goal. So yeah, short-term, if I just looked at it in little chunks, I could see myself getting tired and not as passionate about biology. But then I had another little goal to look forward to, which now is my career. And so I want to further my career and hope that this company wants to keep me around. Hopefully give me good reviews on my annual screening and stuff like that. I feel like that also helped me get through junior college and then my four-year university I transferred to and now my job.
And I think it's important when you are feeling burnout and those little not so great things start to weigh heavy around your days, those self-check-ins, like those are really important. Like what brings you joy? And if something is not bringing you joy, then it's not serving you and you can't serve your community. So it's like finding the joy in what you do and being like, oh, such and such used to make me so happy. And it's not what's different. So it's just allowing yourself to like take time with yourself and to trust that like you know yourself best. So sometimes it's just, oh, I found this part of my job so fulfilling and I haven't been able to do this one part so much anymore. So I'd like to revisit this. I had a really non-traditional career path because I never actually finished any of my degrees.
Yeah.
But it's because I would discover something new that brought me joy and passion in each job I was doing that helped me be brave enough to go after those new growth opportunities. Because when I was in college, I was also working at a roller skating rink and I like being able to choose music. So then I got an internship at a radio station. I didn't like the drive, but then I had started getting more into communications and then my music classes, which brought me back to musical theater. And I loved doing production and theater, but then I realized there's not a way to really provide myself some healthcare there unless I moved to a big city, which I didn't want to do. Then I leaned into my admin work, right? They're just like ways to discover things that you're good at and still be able to set yourself up for success. And I think it's part of it is just allowing yourself to be malleable and open.
Thank you all. That was really helpful. And I'm really happy that I got that question answered.
So the question I had is something that I know a couple people struggle with. The career I have been focused on at the moment is cosmetology. And the career that I was hooked on at first was childcare education. So I really wanted to work with kids in like the kindergarten or preschool setting. But something that I found is that people will try to talk me out of a job because they think I won't get paid enough. They think that cosmetology is considered not a job sometimes. There are people who say these things about the jobs that I've been considering. So what would you say to people that have had that kind of struggle?
I think the first thing that I would think about, and it's a question that you have to ask yourself, is kind of like Emily was talking about, does this bring me joy? If you love working with people and love working with their hair and, you know, bringing them a new look and that invigorates you and makes you want to get up in the morning, then that's the perfect job for you. And I think you should pursue that and pursue the training that goes with that. Because if you love what you're doing and whatever that is, it's going to make you more excited to go to work. And when those days get long and when you get burnt out of the work that you're doing, being able to do something that you really enjoy is going to help you on those days. And, you know, if you really love your job, people will notice. And when people are noticing, especially in something like cosmetology that's based on client bases, right, and the people that you know in your network, and clients will come and you'll be able to make money. So it's all about if you're doing what you love and you really hustle to be good at what you love doing, and I think the money will come and that's something that you can work on later. But I'm curious to see what Emily has to say about this.
Many of my jobs were jobs that did not pay well, especially in like my late teens, early 20s. I really relied on my network to have good housemates. And people that I lived with were also passionate in the art spaces. But my best friend went to cosmetology school and she has a very successful and thriving hair business in Livermore. So I don't know what they mean. Like, is it scary? Is it risky? Sure. But there are absolutely ways to make money in these other professions also. Collective bargaining really helps. So if you ever need help in a unionizing workplace, I got you.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people forget that no matter how illustrious your career might be, you'll still want to go get your hair done. You'll still want to go get your nails done, your lashes done, your eyebrows done, whatever you want to do beauty-wise, there's going to be demand for it. So I see an esthetician and I know she makes so much money because she charges the service that I get $65 for 30 minutes and she's booked out. So that she makes more than me in an hour. And I definitely feel like those people who are saying those things might be trying to look out for you, but I don't think they really understand how that comes across to you, because if it's what you're passionate about and what you want to do, you should do it. And even though they're trying to give you advice, it kind of comes off as the wrong way. But you do you. And I've seen you with people. You have very good communication skills. You're very personable.
And if you go into cosmetology, I'm sure you'll have a very strong, loyal client base that will be paying your bills and then some. So just follow your dream.
Yeah, I think Hannah's right. I think people don't actually understand that there is quite a bit of money to be made in the field that you've chosen. But like, I also think that there is this very long history of thinking that there's a certain way you have to do things, right? You have to go to college. You have to get a degree. It's the only way you're going to get a job. But here's the thing. So many of those entry-level jobs now demand a bachelor's or even a master's degree. And yet they still pay. I'm going to get on my soapbox. Sorry, friends. But then they still end up paying you close to or barely above minimum wage. And yet you've invested so much money in these degrees that are also putting you into massive debt. So how do they ever expect you to like build yourself out of that hole? So I think there are many ways for you to set yourself up for success. And just because there isn't a lot of money in the beginning, you clearly have all the skills and like we know you. You are kind. You care. You're a great listener. Like, those are all the initial makings of someone doing hair, nails, any sort of like cosmetology service, right? Like, you guys are part-time therapists, essentially. So, yeah, I think people just get really stuck in the like, you have to do this and do this and do this to get this thing. But I think we're in a time of renaissance, I guess, when it comes to job trajectories. And so I think you can forge your own path, my friends.
Thank you so much for all the responses. Our next question is going to be for our adults. How did you go about college and career preparation during and after high school? So if there's something specific that helped you prepare for life that you'd like to share, now's the time.
I'm someone that went away to college, but my parents were not able to help me financially with that process. And so I relied entirely on scholarships. So I went to college almost debt-free because of the scholarships that the Masonic family offers. And so I highly recommend that, you know, in your senior year, you start looking at scholarships. And whether that's, again, for vocational school, junior college, or a four-year college, there are lots of scholarships that will cover those costs. And so during the fall time of your senior year, start looking for those. All of the organizations pretty much in the Masonic family have some form of scholarship. So the California Eastern Star Organization has a scholarship that I got every year out of my college degree. There's a specific Masonic loan that is no interest. And so you're able to get, I think it's like $5,000 a year for 5 years with no interest, which is a great loan compared to national federal student loan terms and the interest that's on those. With Rainbow, it's just California Rainbow Scholarships, your local Masonic Lodge. I know in my current area, Roseville Lodge has a scholarship that they give out every year. So really look for money because money is there. You know, the Scottish Rite organizations, just so many different organizations have scholarships for students that they're looking to give out. And you can honestly reuse a lot of the materials that you have from Rainbow in those scholarships. So anything that you wrote for your distinguished leadership reports that you have to submit, you can use those in scholarship essays. Any essays that you wrote for our speech competition, you can reuse part of those for your scholarship essays. So kind of all of the materials that you have built up throughout your time, you can reuse. And you already know in that public speaking how to communicate what you're trying to do, what your path is. And so you can use that to your advantage when it comes to scholarships. So that's something that I really prioritized. I was able to make it work. Worked all throughout my college career so that way I could get through college, including my master's degree. So I think really just building up a foundation of knowing what it takes, knowing what the numbers are, money you're going to need, and then also knowing, you know, what kind of support you're going to need from family and friends so that way you can get through that. Because a lot of college and post high school education comes down to what kind of support network do you have. So can you call your parents or your grandparents or a friend to come rescue you when you need a weekend off? Can you go to the movies with someone to take a break? Those emotional supports are also really helpful in getting you through whatever programs you're trying to do after high school. So those are things that I did my last year of high school that really helped me. I highly recommend them to anyone. So that's one big thing that I did for college and career prep.
I would also say lean into your counseling departments. They have professional staff who literally are there to help you plan your classes to make sure you're on a certain time schedule and that you take them in the right series order. And then even beyond that, take full advantage of the emotional support counselors they have on site. Most colleges, especially in California, it's part of your tuition costs or even your JCs. It's part of the taxes we pay so that you can go for free. Yay. But those departments were instrumental in getting me through college and reminding me that when things were feeling really big, that this was just like the most important part of my life so far, but that there was still so much left going forward, that they really were able to help me put things into perspective. And when things felt really big, how to portion out into smaller pieces, like when you're career planning or just putting your schedule together, this is all I need to do for this semester before I get to the next step. So that can help you kind of make things feel smaller and more achievable. Instrumental, guidance counselors and the emotional support counselors. See them, utilize them, love them, make them know your name.
I could not agree more. I spent an extra year at my community college because I did not utilize the guidance counselor. I took things out of order. OChem 1 is only available in the fall. OChem 2 is only available in the spring. So that was out of whack for me. I had to stay an extra year, and I was already a year behind because, well, okay, I don't want to say behind, but it took me an additional year because I had to take a year off. So when I transferred, I felt so old. Everyone in my classes was like 20, 18, 19, 20. I was 22. and there's no shame in that at all. And the guidance counselors at community colleges, they have less students per counselor. So they will really be able to tailor your experience and really help you and be your advocate. Another thing, if you're transferring UCs, you can have a tag. So you go in and you say, I want to tag UCLA. I want to tag UCSD. And it's basically a guaranteed admission after your 2 years if you keep up your GPA. And the quality of education, at least in my experience at my junior college, it was on par with the education I received at Long Beach. So don't feel any shame in going to a junior college or a community college as opposed to a full 4 year. And yeah, it wasn't free when I went, but I was able to pay for it through my job and Rainbow Scholarships that I had received. And same thing with Long Beach. And my last semester in Long Beach, I also took advantage of the therapists on campus because I feel like I missed an opportunity. A lot of my peers had lab experience where I did not. I was limited by my own knowledge. I didn't know an opportunity was available to me that could have been. So really, really, if you want to do something at junior college, at your transfer college, at your four-year university, research it because it will be available to you. I was too late to do any lab work under a professor. I found out about it my last semester and I wasn't able to do it. And I felt that was really going to set me back career-wise. And I was having really, really big feelings about this. And so, yeah, I took advantage of the therapist on campus and she was really helpful navigating me through that. So yes, definitely research your resources at your academic institutions. There are so many available to help you in any aspect.
Some lovely answers. It definitely is going to help us girls in the future. I know that. I now know the importance of counselors. Thank you. So adults, we've already kind of touched on this, but if you had to go back and do it all over again, is there anything that you really would do differently or something that you think you could do better? Is there anything that you think you could have changed?
I think for me, because neither of my parents are in the field that I wanted to study, I didn't know about kind of the hidden things that you needed to look for, kind of like Hannah was talking about, where in my field, internships are really important. And I just didn't know what those looked like, how much they paid. And so I was staying at my summer job in my town when I could be working for a different company, making double or triple at an internship, which I didn't know, you know, what they would pay and what that all looked like. So I think my biggest recommendation is join clubs and organizations. I joined Greek Life and was able to meet a network of people that are all in my field because the organization was built for women in STEM. And I think having both that emotional support network was really helpful for me, but then also the resources that they would talk about on our Facebook group. That's how I got my current job, was from a posting in our alumni Facebook group. So really build your network, get a LinkedIn. Honestly, you could get one right now and start connecting with people, because you never know what opportunities or jobs are available from people that you already know. And those opportunities are something that your professors may not tell you, that you might not learn in your classes. And so really, really highly recommend just join those clubs, join the organizations, join the professional societies, whatever they are, because knowing people really does help when you're looking for those full-time opportunities and those little hidden things that no one tells you about.
Yeah. And if you haven't already, start working on your resumes, even if it's just listing your educational successes and your successes like in rainbow. Honestly, I even put like, I am Majority Joe's daughter. I am Fast Grant Officer in Rainbow. And I fully got my first admin job because the man running the restaurant that I was being hired to be his wife's assistant, and she was the owner, he had been in DMLA. So he's like, oh, you know what you're doing. And I was like, do I? So yeah, just list it all. And every time you get hired, add your new job, because you never know when you might need it next.
Yeah, I agree with Char and Emery. I would have researched my opportunities a lot better. I wanted to do undergraduate research with a professor. I found out about it my last semester. It was only one unit because you usually take it over multiple semesters, and I wouldn't have had enough units to graduate. So if I would have researched that opportunity, I would have been able to do it, even as a transfer student. And I really recommend networking. Joining clubs is incredibly important, not only for your future career because of your network. Kara got her job through her network. I got my job through an alumni network. But also as a transfer student, relationships and friendships. I knew no one when I transferred, and a lot of people already had established friend groups because they dormed together or they've seen each other in classes for 2 years prior to me ever being there. So clubs related to your major and clubs related to what you like to do, your hobbies, your interests are really important in really making your college experience fun and successful and worth every pretty penny.
Thank you so much, ladies. This has been a fantastic episode with you all. We all really hope that you have enjoyed this episode and maybe even taken something from this episode for yourselves. I know that I particularly loved hearing about everyone's dreams after high school, whether it was from our girls or our adults. Everyone's answer was really inspiring. Thank you to our incredible guests, Kiara, Emily, Hannah, Aubrey, and Aubrey. We post a new episode of the podcast every month, so please subscribe or follow our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you regularly listen to your podcast. And tune in next month. Until we meet again, I'm Ashley. You're listening to Let's Talk About Leadership, Service, and Sisterhood, a podcast for teens by teens. Goodbye.